Hi everyone, today's Perek Rambam is the 26th chapter of Hilchos Shabbos. In this Perek, the Rambam continues his discussion all about the laws of Muktzah, a rabbinic decree which was set against certain items that a person is not allowed to move them on Shabbos. Halacha Aleph. Ko klei ha'orig v'chavala v'kanim shelo mutter l'taltalan k'klish m'lachto l'eser, chot mikovet ha'elyo mikovet ha'tachton l'vish eini talim b'nei she'in tekuah. All the different items used for weaving, including the cords and the reeds and the like, so these are all allowed to be moved in accordance with other things which their primary purpose, their use, is for something which is forbidden on Shabbos. This is except with regards to the upper and lower weaver's beam. These are not allowed to be used at all because they're normally fixed into the loom. And similarly, the pillars of the loom, a person cannot move on Shabbos because you might come to fill a hole in the earth where they were when they are removed. With regards to all other items used by a weaver, these are permitted to move on Shabbos. Halacha Beis. Mechbaru shel tamar v'yotipen shemechavim penes hakarka harehen kiklishim lachto leheter sheharei mutter lechavi b'shabbos. Broomsticks made from date palm tree branches or the like that you use to sweep the floor, they are considered a kli shemlachto leheter and therefore can be moved in any which way because it is permitted to sweep the floor on Shabbos. Levanim shenishar min abinyan, if you have leftover bricks from a building, harein kikli shemlachto leheter. These two are considered like an item which its purpose is for a permitted purpose. Because these are fit for reclining on, because they have been nicely smoothed down and are all fixed. However, if somebody had collected them, then it's clear that you're intending to set them aside for a building, and then it's forbidden to move in them on Shabbos. Halacha Gimel. Cheres kitana mutter l'taltla afilu b'rishas rabim hol uriya hi b'chatzer l'chazos ba pi kli katan. Even a small shard of earthenware is allowed to be carried even in the public domain, since it's fit to use in a courtyard to cover up the cover of a small vessel. Nukuvas chavis shenis chachsa hi ushvareha mutter l'taltla imzraka l'ashpa m'bodiyom asr l'taltla. If you have the stopper of a barrel which has been cut off, it and its broken pieces are allowed to be carried. However, if you had thrown it into the garbage beforehand, before Shabbos, so then you've designated it away from being used, and then it is forbidden to move it. Klishinis ro'ea lo yit lo shminu cheres l'chasos bo oles mochava. If you have a vessel which has broken, it's not been smashed into lots of little pieces, but it's clearly breaking, so it's forbidden to remove a shard from it in order to cover something up or to use it as a support, because it has not yet been designated for that purpose. A person is allowed to bring into him four toilet paper, three smooth stones which they would use in order to wipe themselves in the bathroom. The kamash urine, and now how big are they allowed to be? Kimloaya, the size of a hand. Aval adama shehi krova his pareach, aser le taltla le kaneach bo. However, a clod of earth, big bunch of dirt, that you are not allowed to take because it's likely to crumble. It's also permitted to bring these stones up to a roof in order to wipe with them. If rain comes down on them and they get stuck in the mud, so if it's still clear showing where they are, so then it's permitted to move them. A rock which clearly has some sort of filth, something gross on it, which indicates quite certainly that this has been used to wipe with, so then it's permitted to move it on Shabbos, even if it's very large, because this is considered something usable. If you have a choice of either using a rock or a piece of earthenware, a shard, to wipe himself with, so what should a person do? So he should ideally use the stone. However, if that shard came from the handle of a vessel, so then you should use the shard. If a person has in front of him a rock or a choice of using grass instead, so if they are very soft grass, he should use those, and if not, he should use the stone. If you have the remains of a mat which have become worn out, they are considered like a vessel which is designated for a permitted purpose on Shabbos, because you can use them to cover up something which is disgusting. Avashiari begadim shabalu. However, if it was a garment which had worn out, she'ain behen shlosha al shlosha, which is less than 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim in size, forbidden to move them on Shabbos. Because this is not something which is fit for use even by poor people and not by rich people. If it's the remnants, the broken pieces of a furnace, it's permitted to move them on Shabbos. And they're just like any other item which has a permitted purpose on Shabbos. However, if you're dealing with the leg of a smaller type of oven which had broken off, it's forbidden to move that because we're concerned that you might go and try to put it back in its proper place. Sulam Shalia, Asr Latatlo. The ladder going up into an attic is forbidden to move. She'ain Alav Torah's Kli because it doesn't qualify as a usable item. Vishal Shovach, Mutulatoso. However, if it leads up to a dovecote, that you are allowed to tilt and allowed to move. Avaloyo Lichol Mi Shovach Shovach. However, you can take it from one dovecote to another one. Shaliyasa Kiderek Shu Osa Bechol Viavolitza. So that you shouldn't act as you would normally during the weekday, and you might come to trap on Shabbos. Kana Shemoskin Bo Hazesim. If you have this type of reed that they would use to pick olives with, if it has the form and the status of a vessel, so then it's like a vessel which is designated for a forbidden purpose. You can't pick olives on Shabbos, and therefore would play by those rules. However, if there's a reed that some person might have used to open and close his door, in that case, if it has the status of a vessel, so then it's like one which is a klishim lachal heter, because that's a permitted purpose, and you can use it completely on Shabbos. Halacha ches. Dela shehelot tzir, afalpi she'in la'at tzir, shehechina liston ba makom mukta, v'hine greres shenolden osa v'sosman ba, v'chein chadakim shesosman ba'en b'mbirtza, v'chein machatzelis ha'in greres. If you have a door which once had a hinge, even though right now it might not have a hinge, which has been designated to close an area which is enclosed, like a barn or a stable or the like, which doesn't have a real purpose per se, and this door drags when you open or close it on the floor. And the same thing applies also if you have some sort of wall made from brambles, or you have a mat which drags on the floor. At a time when they're connected, they're hung on a wall, so you can close them and lock them. The im love, and if not, then you can't close them. The im hayu govohen me aharetz nolamhen. However, if they are above the ground, so then you are allowed to lock them. Lachates. Dela shayala luach echad sheshom tinosa v'nolim ba. Im lo hayala limata kain kimo askufa shemochiach lahashi kli muchal nila einolim ba. If you have a door which is made from a single piece of wood, and it's placed in a doorway to close it, and it's removed to open it, so then if that doorway doesn't have a base at the bottom that looks like a doorstep, that would thereby indicate that this door is a kli intended for opening and closing, so then it cannot be used to open and close the door. However, if it does have a doorstep below it, no alimba, then you are allowed to use it to close. And similarly, if you have a bolt that has a big bulge at its end that indicates that this is a kli that you use to bolt the door, it's not merely a regular beam, so in that case, you can use it to bolt the door on Shabbos. If you instead have a bolt that does not have this part at the end of it which indicates that it's used to lock a door, if it's completely tied and hung to the door, so then you're allowed to use it to lock. And similarly, if you could take it off and it would come off together with its rope. However, if instead the thing that it attaches to is connected to the door, and you could just take this beam and move it like any other beam, this bolt doesn't look like a bolt, and you can just move it like any other beam and place it in a corner, and that's what you do in fact, and when you want to lock it, you put it back and lock it. Then it's forbidden to use this to lock with. It doesn't count as a vessel. And since it's not tied on, it doesn't have anything tied on to it to designate it as a bolt, it's forbidden to move. If you have a candelabra, which is made up of different pieces, whether it's large or whether it's small, you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos, because you might go ahead and rebuild it on Shabbos. However, however, if it just has these etches on it, you know, there's these markings, and it looks like it's made of different pieces, if it's very large, which requires you to carry it with two hands, so then it's forbidden to move it simply because it's so heavy. However, if it's less than that, then you are allowed to move it. A shoe which is on top of a shoemaker's block, you're allowed to take it off on Shabbos. You can release a clothes press belonging to somebody who's not a professional on Shabbos, but you cannot, however, push that press into place. However, if that press belongs to somebody who's a professional launderer, this is what he does, so then you can't move it at all because it's set aside because of what we've seen beforehand is something which is considered to be a big loss or something which is special to a craftsman and therefore he's not going to use it lightly. And similarly, unpressed rolls of wool, you have these little pieces of wool, so you also can't move them because the owner intends to use them for specifically spinning fabric. Therefore, had he designated them for your uses beforehand, so then it is allowed to be moved. However, with regards to hides of an animal which have not yet been tanned, they haven't been processed, so then it's allowed to be moved whether it belongs to a regular person, whether it belongs to some sort of craftsman, because this type of thing is not something which the owner would be upset about. He's not particular about using them for another purpose. Halacha Yud Gimel. Kol davar metuna. Anything which is disgusting. Could go on re'i, v'ki, v'tsoa, ukiyot v'hen, such as different forms of excrement and vomit. Im hayu b'chatzer shiyoshin ba, if they're in the courtyard where a person's sitting, mutar lotzian la'ashpa o l'beis hakisa, you're allowed to take them out to the dump or to the bathroom. V'zehu nikra graf shorei. This is what is in halacha referred to as a sack filled with dung, like a chamber pot. V'im hayu b'chatzer acheres. However, if it was in a different courtyard, kofen alein kli, so then you cover them up with a vessel, k'deish lo yeti ha'katam mislachli friend, so that way a child will not come and get disgusting with it, but you can't just move it out. Rok shalakarka, dorsal of itumavoli. If there's spit on the ground, a person, as he's walking innocently, is allowed to step on it and trample it. Metaltan kanuna, mipnei ephro, afalpishish love shiver etim, mipnei shu kagraf shal rei. A person's allowed to take out a warming pan because of its ashes, because even though it contains little pieces of wood, nonetheless, it's considered like this graf shal rei. Veinos and graf shal rei, lechachilu shabbos. You cannot turn an item into something which is then this gross item on Shabbos, on purpose. If it just happens to happen, or you violated this and you did it anyhow, so then you are allowed to move it on Shabbos. The oil which is running out from under the beam of the olive press on Shabbos, or dates and almonds that are designated for as merchandise to be sold, so it's permitted to eat them on Shabbos. And similarly, the same thing is true if you have a storehouse filled with grain or anything else of this sort, which is really a food, so then it can't become muksa on Shabbos. Fundamentally, it is prepared. Chutz me grogros etzimukin shabam muksa b'zman shemiyabshinu sam. There is one exception, and that's with regards to figs or raisins that can be muksa once you've set them aside to dry. Since they pass through an in-between stage when they were able to be eaten, they become unable to be eaten and are gross, and eventually then will return to being something which is good to eat afterwards. But since they pass through that middle stage, so then they become muksa on Shabbos. A barrel of wine or a watermelon which is cracked open, you're allowed to take it and store it away on Shabbos, even though it's not fitting to eat at the moment. And in a similar fashion, if you have an amulet which hasn't been proven by the person who had created it to be one which is able to work, so nonetheless, even though you're not a carry it and there's just robbed by wearing it on Shabbos, you are allowed to move it. It's not considered muksa. Moser Hashemen Shabaner, Shabakara, Shabliku Behen Moser Shabbos, Osir Listavik Menu Boser Shabbos, Memneshu Mukta Machmat Isr. The oil that remains in a lamp or a bowl that you had used as a candle, as a lamp on Shabbos, so even though the candle's out and this oil will be used for anything else, since it had initially been designated for it, it's considered muksa machas iser, and therefore you can't use those remnants either. Halacha test vav. Otzer shel tavua o shel kadei yayin, af al pi shemutzer l'stapik menu, aser l'haschil bo l'fanoso, el advar mitzvah. If you have a storehouse of grain or wine, though we said it's permitted to take from them to use the food, the grain, the wine, etc., it is forbidden to clear it out on Shabbos to remove these things unless it's for the sake of a mitzvah. Kigon shepinah l'achnas orachin o l'kbo beis medrash, such as you want to clear it out so that way you can have guests come in there, or so that you can set up a place for people to learn Torah. The case of mefanos. So now, how do you clear it out? Kol echad echad mali arba o chamesh kupos shel ad shegomer. So every person comes and removes 4 or 5 of these containers that are there until you clear them all away. And you shouldn't sweep up the floor of this storehouse, as the Rambam has already explained. Rather, you can go in and out of it. And simply by walking in and out, he'll create a path in that fashion. Anything which is fit as food for a domesticated, undomesticated animal or bird, as long as these animals are commonplace around where the person is. So, metalton also b'Shabbos, you're letting move it on Shabbos. Kate Zad, the Rambam will now illustrate. Metalton is a tormos hayavish meshu machalizim, avalo es alach. Dried tormos bean, some sort of bean, is allowed to be moved on Shabbos because it's fit as food for goats. But if it's moist, then it's not, and therefore it cannot be moved. As a chetzav, b'mnei shu machal etzvam. As a chardom, b'mnei shu machal yonim. As a tzemos, b'mnei shein machal eklavim. And so too with all these different things, type of bush which has very deep roots, which is fit for food for deer, or mustard which is fit for food for doves, or bones which are fit for food for dogs, and any sort of peel or seeds which are fit for an animal to eat, so you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. V'she'ein ruulin ochel, as a ochel v'zorkan l'acharav v'asur l'taltalim. And the things which are not fit for animal food, so you can eat the food that's the food, and then you throw away these leftovers, and those then are forbidden to move. Metaltlan basar tafuach mivnei shehu machal chaya, and a person is allowed to carry meat that has spoiled, because since some animals will still eat it, even though we wouldn't eat it, so it's considered not muksa. Metaltlan basar chay bein tafel bein maliach mivnei sharoy l'adam, and raw meat, whether it has been salted or it is still unsalted. So since it still is fit for a person to eat, so you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. And the same thing is true also with a salted fish. However, with regards to fish which has not been salted, so that is forbidden to move because we assume that that's not fit for people or animals to eat. You can't move broken pieces of glass, even though hypothetically they can be eaten by an ostrich. And you also can't move certain twigs from a vine, because these bundles of vines, even though they're able to be eaten by elephants, plus a luf, afalpi, shehein, machal, orvim, and also luf, another type of vegetable, which is able to be eaten by ravens, all these things are not able to be moved on Shabbos. Because most of these animals, ostriches, elephants, ravens, are things which are commonly found by people, and therefore the food items for them are still considered muksa. If there are bundles of straw or wood, so if you had designated them for animal food, so then you're allowed to move them. If you have not, then you cannot. If you brought in bundles of all these different types of hyssop and the like, so if you had brought them in for the purpose of using them as fuel, so then you can't take from them on Shabbos. The machal behema mitakben. If you had brought them in for the purpose, though, of feeding to your animals, then you are allowed to take from them. V'chein ba'a mita, v'chein b'fegam, v'chein b'shari mi'etalim. And so, too, applies for other types of different spices, these different types of herbs. Halacha yud tes. Ein gorfen machal lefnei habdam, bein be'evas shel kli, bein be'evas shel karka. You're not a rake away food that had already been placed in front of an animal which you're intentionally fattening up, so that when you slaughter, it'll be a bigger, juicier animal. And that's true whether or not it was in a feeding trough, which is its own vessel, or whether it was just on the ground. And similarly, you also can't go ahead and knock it aside, so that way it doesn't get mixed up with the animal's excrement. Because in this case, we're concerned that you might go and level the ground. No limb of neah hamor, no limb of neah shor. However, you could take it from in front of a donkey and put it in front of an ox. However, you can take it away from an ox and place it in front of a donkey. Because the food which is in front of an ox has become disgusting from its spit, and it's not fit now for another animal to eat. And also leaves which have a very bad smell and are gross, and an animal is not going to eat them, so those also are forbidden to move. And therefore, if you have a hook which you use to hang fish on, that's forbidden to move. But if it's a hook which is used to hang meat on, so that's permitted to move. And the same thing applies with any similar situations. Even though it's forbidden to move a corpse on Shabbos, you can anoint it, and you can wash it, as long as you don't cause any of its limbs to move. And similarly, you can move a pillow out from under it, so that way it will lie to be falling on the ground, on the sand, to prevent it from decomposing. And similarly, you're allowed to bring a vessel which will cool off the corpse, or a piece of metal, and place it on the belly of the corpse, so that way it won't end up swelling and getting gross. Also, you can stop up its various orifices, so that way air won't come into them. Also, you can tie the jaw, not that it will close, but in order so that it not open more. You also cannot close the corpse's eyes on Shabbos. If there is a corpse which is out in the sun, so then you place a loaf of bread or a child on top of it, and then you can move it in that fashion. And so too, if a fire breaks out in the courtyard, and there is a corpse in that courtyard, so in that case too, you can place a loaf of bread or a child on top of it, and then move it. But if you don't have something like that available, you can just go and take it away from the fire, no matter what. Because we're concerned that you might go to extinguish the fire, because you'll be so distressed over the scenario, you don't want your dead relative, whoever it might be, to get burned up, to get cremated. So you might go and put out the fire. So in order to prevent that, Chazal allowed you to move it. Chazal only permitted this concept of using a loaf of bread or a child for a dead body alone, for a corpse. For that same reasoning, the person will become very distressed to the point where they'll do something which they wouldn't have wanted to do to violate halacha because of their dead relative. If it was out in the sunlight and there was no place to bring it to, or they just didn't want to move this corpse from the place where it was, so then you can have two people come and they can sit on either side of it. If it gets hot for them on the floor where they're sitting, so then one of them can bring his mattress and sit on it, and the other one can bring his mattress and sit on it. If it's hot for them above, then maybe machatelis uporis al gaba. So one of them can bring a mat and spread it out on top of him. But then maybe machatelis uporis al gaba. Another one brings out a mat and spreads it on top of him. This one can then move out the mattress that he's sitting on and go about on his regular way. And then the other one can also do the same thing, get up and go away. And it just happens to be that there is a mechitza protecting them. Because these two different mats, their roofs are near each other, and their two ends are on the ground, on either side of the corpse. And in this fashion, you'll have created a temporary structure to protect the corpse from the heat. If there's a corpse which has become gross, it's rotting inside of a home, and it turns out that they are all looking at this corpse in a very disgusted fashion, and they too have become degraded because of it being there, so then it's permitted to take it out into a karmelos. And now a very profound statement of our values. Gadol kavod abrios shedocha es losas hesh b'torah. Shehu losas or min adavar asher yigidu lecha yeminu smo. You see how profoundly important human dignity is, and that it's able to knock aside an actual negative prohibition, which is that you shouldn't stray either right or left from the words which Chazal command us, And nonetheless, for the sake of Kavod HaPrius, you can push it away. However, if they had another place where they could go to, then you don't remove the corpse. So then you leave the corpse in the place where it is, and they should leave. If they have an alternative, then they should leave and not move the corpse. That concludes this parak, and that concludes, in general, our discussion about Mukta. Tomorrow we'll continue with a new topic. Have a wonderful day.